050 on the radio, and this is Monday, November 9th, 2015. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the talent and opportunity to do this show. We are filled up with football, ladies and gentlemen. It is that time of year. It is now November. The leaves are falling. They're changing colors, and it is getting nippy around here. Basically, not what I'm used to. I might have to get used to it all over again, but hey, it's football weather. Whether it's time to win divisions in college, then it is time to make moves toward doing postseason play in the NFL. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to get into it, and we're going to get into it fast. Let's start off with the NFL. Got to talk about the New England Patriots. New England Patriots, as they took care of the Skins yesterday, 27-10. I don't even know why it was 27-10. They scored the Skins scored a touchdown late. It was really 27-3. Tom Brady pretty much had a pedestrian day. Today he threw for 299 yards, two touchdowns, but he had an interception. Remember our stat last time on Thursday? Could have the best eight-game interception touchdown ratio of all time. Well, he kind of sort of did that. Even though he doesn't have the best ratio, that still stands in 2007. When Mr. Brady had 30 touchdowns to two interceptions. Now he has 22 touchdowns to two interceptions. And anyway, the Patriots, they did it a different way yesterday. They decided they were going to smash mouth the football ball right down the Skins' throat. LeGarrette Blount touched it. Time ran for 129 yards. He scored a touchdown. The Skins, they basically didn't do too much, mainly because they had eight drop passes. This is Kirk Cousins. They had 217 yards and a touchdown and an interception, but again, the interception was a drop pass, and he had a QBR of 23.2. It is the eighth time in the last two seasons. Now, I don't even know what to say about this. Eighth time in the last two seasons with a QBR 25 or less. That is not strictly an RG3 stat, as they would have, as some people would have you to believe. The Raiders, they lost a tough one yesterday to the Steelers, again losing it at the end on a Chris Boswell field goal, took them out 38-35. Hey, Ben Roethlisberger was fantastic, but he got injured. You see how serious it is today on the MRI. He was dynamite yesterday, 334 yards and two touchdowns. But like I said, he got injured. And then when he got injured, Mr. D'Angelo Williams went to work. He had 170 yards rushing and two touchdowns. And do you know that's like the oldest person to do that? Since 1966, I couldn't even believe that. That just kind of floored me. 32 years, 197 days. He's the oldest guy to do that since 1966. Cannot believe that. But it was one of them days in Pittsburgh. Antonio Brown broke the Steeler record for most passing yards in a game with 284. He had 17 catches. He was unbelievable. And that is not the choice. The Raiders, Derek Carr, who had 300 yards total passing and four touchdowns. Look, Davis Murray had 96 yards rushing. Michael Crabtree had 108 yards receiving. He had two touchdowns as well. It was an offensive explosion over there. And those Steelers found a way to get the victory. The Raiders dropped back to 4-4. Meanwhile, in Carolina, hey, I say it's the two best teams in the NFC. I know the Cardinals may try to open their mouths here and there, but the Panthers took out the Packers 37-29. Cam Newton was Cam Newton, 297 yards, three touchdowns, and a pick and he also had a touchdown run. But what it was really in showed, there was a Devin Funchess sighting. Three catches, 71 yards, and a touchdown. You know, Olsen had his typical 66 yards and a touchdown as well. Aaron Rodgers, he almost brought him all the way back, 369 yards, four touchdowns. He did have an interception. Then Randall Cobb had 99 yards receiving and a touchdown. The Packers dropped their two in a row. Last time they did that, I believe, was when? You know, we said it the other day, 2010, week six. They lost week five and week six of 2010. Long time to lose two in a row for the Packers. I do believe they will be back. Meanwhile, in New Orleans, I can't even believe the Saints on this one. Just totally a shock and surprise as the Tennessee Titans went into New Orleans and took out the Saints 34-28 in overtime. Marcus Mariota, 28-39 for 371 yards and four touchdowns. But it's the other guy, Antonio Andrews, who he ran for 88 yards yesterday. Yeah, Delanie Walker, we know who that is. He had 95 yards receiving and two touchdowns. And the thing is, you look, and Drew Brees, he had the same numbers as Mariota pretty much. He was also 28-39, but he had 387 yards. He had three touchdowns instead of four, but he ran a touchdown in. I mean, the Saints, their defense is horrible. And, of course, you know who plays the Saints next week. That's right. They will be here in the nation's capital. And the Saints, they keep on dropping games. They should win. They will not endear themselves to the playoff race that way. Matter of fact, I think they might already be out as it stands right now, particularly because of the next team we're going to talk about, the Minnesota Vikings. What about them? They come up and they win another one, 21-18. They were led by Adrian Peterson, 125 yards. He scored a touchdown. The main man at quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, he was knocked out. So they had to lay the defensive clamps on, and they did to Todd Gurley. He had 89 yards on 24 carries. He scored a touchdown, but they put the locks on him. And the Vikings, very, very quietly, they're now 6-2. Ladies and gentlemen, we just said the Packers lost two in a row. Yeah, that's right. The Vikings are right with the Packers in the loss column. That is why the Saints are in serious trouble more than any. Hey, we already know that there's going to be a race for the last spot in the NFC. But you look all around the NFC. The NFC East, that is horrible. You don't need to worry about anybody but the division winner in that division. You look at the NFC South. I guess potentially you can say that. I guess you can say the Falcons, but I mean, they're falling apart. They're 6-3. They've been losing games left and right. They lost their last two, and then you have the Saints. They're 4-5. They're, like I said, they're pretty much done because they're right with Tampa Bay, who's now 3-5. Hello, everybody. And then you got the Rams and the Seahawks. They're 4-4. I guess the Seahawks will be the team. So you really don't have anybody there, so to speak. And like I said, the team people probably looking out for more than any are the Seahawks for that last space, even with the Falcons at 6-3. So we'll see how that works out. That's what the fun part of November football for. It's time to look at the playoff race and all that good stuff. And we're looking at it in the NFC. Anyway, got to go to New York. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they gave the Jets a tough one, but the Jets held on 28-23. My man Fitzpatrick, is there a guy who's gotten more of a raw deal than Ryan Fitzpatrick this year? I mean, not saying that he's a fantastic quarterback. that. He's been better than pedestrian, like people have been saying, and he wasn't that bad last year when he was in Houston. And all of a sudden, the Jets, they are 5-3 right now. The victory puts them at 5-3. Anyway, talking about Fitzpatrick, he had 272 yards and 2 touchdowns. I remember he had an injured left thumb that kind of gets glossed over. So he was injured. You had Chris Ivory. Didn't have a good day running the ball, but he did score 2 touchdowns yesterday. Now you got to get a Jaguars credit. Hey, Blake Bortles was really trying to be big time nowadays. He had 381 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And Allen Hurts, and he's almost Pro Bowl level. He had 122 yards receiving, and he had a touchdown. I'm telling you, he has quietly been one of the best wide receivers in the AFC in San Francisco. I don't even believe I'm saying these words out of my mouth. I got to say the words because it is coming out of my mouth. Blaine Gabbert led the 49ers to a 17-16 win over the – wait a minute, hold on. Is that Atlanta Falcons? Yeah, that was the loss that we were talking about. Well, Blaine Gabbert threw 185 yards. He had 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. The 2 interceptions, not surprising. He had a QBR of 65.8. Now, to understand how good of a performance this is, he has a career QBR of 22.6, the worst in the league out of the top 51 quarterbacks in the league. He had the worst, and he played well against Atlanta. I don't understand the Falcons. Matt Ryan, he threw for 303 yards and a touchdown. You know, Julio Jones caught 10 of those passes for 137 yards. But the Falcons fall. And now, like I say, that AFC race is wide open in the playoffs right now. Hey, big time upset in Indianapolis as the Colts 27-24. Andrew Luck threw for 2 touchdowns, 252 yards. Frank Gore had 83 yards rushing and a touchdown. Peyton Manning had 281 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Hey, you remember the big time trade by Vernon Davis? They make the big time trade with Vernon Davis, and next thing you know, on Sunday he throws to Owen Daniel for 102 yards receiving. What did you make that trade for? He also had a touchdown, by the way. First loss by the Broncos goes for the season, and now you see the AFC, you see the Patriots almost like running away now. I mean, even though the Broncos only have one loss, does anybody think anybody's catching the Patriots now? I don't think so. So, also in Dallas, the Cowboys, they lost their 6th in a row to Eagles. Came back, got the victory, 34-28 in overtime. Sam Bradford, he wasn't bad yesterday, 295 yards passing. He had a touchdown. DeMarco Murray. Where am I going? They've got too many Murrays at running back. DeMarco Murray had 83 yards rushing. He had a touchdown. He had Jordan Matthews with a big day, 133 yards receiving. He had 9 catches for a touchdown. The Eagle offense starting to get things churning here. Matt Castle, he threw 3 touchdowns, almost 300 yards. McFadden had 117 yards rushing. Cole Beasley had 112 yards, 2 touchdowns. It was offense to be found. And the Cowboys, I'm sure if they would have said before the game, if we score 28 points, will we win? I'm sure they would have said yes. But that didn't happen. And the Eagles, hey, I know someone out there is happy. The Eagles starting to make that run, and I believe eventually they will end up with the division. If you look at the division right now I know the Giants are 5-4, but the fact of the matter is the Eagles have another home game. They're starting to get their wits about them. If you look at their point differential, they're starting to get their stuff together there as we see it. Again, a 34-point effort by the Eagles, big time against the Cowboys. That was big, big, this season, because now you got the Cowboys. They're in a whole hole. They're two games back. All these people that believe that Romo, once Romo comes back, the Cowboys will run the table. Ha! Like, that's happening. And so I almost think it's a two-team race between the Eagles and the Giants right now. Now, and the Eagles with a big victory last night. Meanwhile, gotta go to college football. Oh my goodness, it was crazy this weekend. But we're gonna start in the ACC. There was a little bit of normalcy over there in the ACC this week, as you saw the game of the week. Clemson was hosting Florida State, and someone needs to tell me why Florida State started Sean McGuire instead of Everett Golston. I mean, Everett Golston pretty much don't lose football games on a normal, right? Well, the fact of the matter is Florida State, they went out there, went against Clemson's defense with Sean McGuire, and it did not work. Dalvin Cook ran for a 75-yard touchdown to begin the game, and you pretty much saw the offense when you saw that touchdown run, because after that, they had two field goals, and that was it. And you know Clemson's too good for that. Deshaun Watson, go ahead and give him the player of the year, offensive player of the year in the ACC, 297 yards passing and a touchdown. He had 100 yards rushing. He was fantastic. Rain Gallman, he didn't even have any type of day early on, but they ran it down Florida State's throat at the end of the game. He ended up with 103 yards and a touchdown. 9-0, they'll still be ranked number one in the country. But number two will no longer be number two, as LSU went to Alabama, and they got banked 30-16. Derrick Henry, they just kept giving him the ball. I mean, it was one serious drill that they kept running on LSU. Derrick Henry ran the ball 38 times for 210 yards and three touchdowns. It was quite a display. In Alabama, they laid the smackdown on defense 2-1. Leonard Fournette, he had 31 yards rushing on 19 carries. Ladies and gentlemen, that is less than a 2 yard per carry average. He did have a touchdown, but, man, they laid the smackdown on him plenty in Tuscaloosa on Sunday. Big time effort by Alabama. All right, well, I'm going to go back to the ACC because no one's talking about this performance, but it was absolutely sensational. North Carolina, they destroyed Duke 66-31, and it wasn't even that close. I watched this game. It was a rock city from the opening gun. Ladies and gentlemen, the North Carolina had 59 points after three quarters. They weren't trying to score anymore, and they still scored in the fourth quarter, 66-31. One, Marquise Williams, I keep on telling people, this kid is unbelievable. Boy, if it wasn't for Deshaun Watson, who's a Heisman Trophy winner, Marquise Williams would have his name on the ACC Offensive Player of the Year. He threw for 494 yards, four touchdowns. He was hitting Mac Hollins and Ryan Switzer left and right. Both of those receivers had over 100 yards receiving. Both of them had a touchdown. And cannot forget Elijah Hood. Good running the ball for the grunt work for North Carolina. He scored three touchdowns on the run. Hey, they spanked Duke. They're now undefeated in the ACC Coastal. The only shot anybody has of beating them is if Miami beats them next week in Chapel Hill. Hey, that's the only shot anybody has of beating North Carolina. We pretty much already have our ACC championship game with Clemson and North Carolina. Just letting people know what the deal is. But speaking of Miami, they did stay around in that ACC Coastal race. You know they have two losses. Well, they came up and beat Virginia 27-21. Brad Kaya came back, threw for 286 yards, two touchdowns. Stacy Coley, he really making that NFL run. I don't even think he's going to be back next year. Seven catches, 132 yards and a touchdown. He has been ridiculously consistent for Miami. this season. Like I said, I don't even think he's coming back. Going back to the SEC, what was that over there in Gainesville? Oh, my goodness, I could not mess around there and watch that game any longer. Vanderbilt had a lead on Florida almost the whole second half. Florida comes up. Austin Harden hits that 43-yarder with just over two minutes left. That pretty much won the game. Florida wins the game 9-7. They win the SEC East. The S is already all over, ladies and gentlemen. And they come up, and they didn't score a touchdown. They did score a touchdown. They missed the extra point. We got Taylor did score the touchdown. They missed the extra point, and then Harden hits the field goal with 2:22 left to win it. Look, Florida, you can say what you want to about them offensively, but defensively, man, they can get it done. They can really shut down people left and right. And ladies and gentlemen, they're 8-1. They're not out of the national. They're not out of the Final Four race. Not yet. Someone is, they get some breaks here and there. They could do some damage. But how about that game over over at Ole Miss? Arkansas comes up and found a way to come back against Ole Miss. 53-52 in overtime. Wait a minute, hold on. How did that happen? That's right. Arkansas went for the 2-point conversion and made it. Brandon Allen, if he wasn't, he should be named probably the NCAA player of the week. 442 yards, 6 touchdown passes, and he ran for the 2-point conversion to win the game against Ole Miss. Ole Miss had their sights set on challenging for that division lead in the SEC West. I don't think that's the case anymore. He had big games. Chad Kelly, he ran for 3 touchdowns, threw for a bunch of yards. He got the Pontre. Well, he caught a bunch of passes. He scored a touchdown. Treadwell's going to do his typical, 100-yard receiving day and a touchdown. Mississippi scored 52 points. I don't care if it went into triple overtime. If they score 52 points, they're supposed to win. But you got to give the Razorbacks credit. They scored on that defense that, not the best in the SEC, but is among the most talented in all the country. Cannot believe they won that one. Ole Miss with a tough defeat right there. But let's keep on going with tough defeats. What about Auburn? Auburn comes up, goes into College Station, and beats Texas A&M 26-10. Huh? Can't be happening. But it did. Auburn won their second game in the SEC, 26-10. Javon Robinson, he is going to be a good one. 159 yards and a touchdown. Jeremy Johnson, he had a good passing day. He was 13-17. Yeah, he only had 132 yards and a touchdown, but he didn't have any picks. They didn't turn it over. And Texas A&M, they had a 2-game slide. Ladies and gentlemen, they have scored how many? 13 points in the 2 games? We're talking about Texas A&M. We're talking about Kevin Sumlin's offense. We're talking about scoring points up and down the field. And they scored 13 points in their last 2 games. What is going on there? You don't think he's looking the other way for coaching jobs, are you? I'm just throwing it out there because there's no way a Kevin Sumlin team just held to 13 points on two straight weekends. Gotta go to the American Athletic Conference real quick. Hey, gotta talk about the home team here. No, I'm not talking about Maryland. I'm talking about the other one, the Naval Academy. They ran through Memphis, undefeated Memphis. The Tigers got rolled on, 45-20. The midshipmen just beat them down. That's really the only adjective you can use. They ran the Naval Academy. They run the triple option. You know what they're going to do. It's not like they're trying to hide it or anything like that. They had a 459 yard total offense, but they ran for 374. they just ran it down their throat. That's the only thing you can really say. Chris Wayne, he had three touchdowns. He had 100 yards rushing, and I believe he was the only one to have 100 yards rushing. But they had ran the ball 66 times for 374 yards rushing, 5.7 yards per carry, and a touch and five touchdowns. They were sensational, getting it done. Memphis, they're not undefeated anymore. And look out for the Naval Academy. Don't let them keep on getting hot. I said that long time ago when they were 4-1. Watch out for the midshipmen. Here they come. They have Houston next. Houston, they barely got by Cincinnati. Boy, Cincinnati had them sweating because I keep on saying one of these days people are going to figure out that Gunnar Keel can actually play. And, boy, he was getting it done on Saturday. He had 523 yards passing, four touchdowns. Well, that's typical Houston defense because, remember, I said the week before they had that shutout, and you didn't expect that. Well, you didn't expect in a row them to have dominant defensive performances. But for Houston, they come up, they scored 33. Hey, Greg Ward, I don't know where he's going to fit in terms of player of the year in the conference, but he ran for 119 yards. He threw for another 161 yards, two touchdowns. He did have two interceptions. The Houston Cougars are now 9-0 in the American Division. I mean, in the conference. They're 5-0 in the conference. Watch out. You know who's coming to Naval Academy. Are you kidding me? Navy and Houston. Yeah, you really could have had me on that one. When the biggest game of the American Athletic Conference, that's impossible. That doesn't even make any sense. Meanwhile, in the Big Ten, it was kind of pedestrian in the Big Ten. Not too many big games, but there were close games. Ohio State, they weren't close. Ezekiel Elliott ran for 114 yards and a touchdown. They beat Minnesota 28-14. What is that, 29 in a row in the Big Ten for the Buckeyes? That is unbelievable stat. The controversial win of the day, which we have one every week, Nebraska upset Michigan State 39-38. Hey, Michigan State comes up. They say, hey, the guy stepped out of the end zone, and then he comes up and catches a touchdown pass. That's not legal. You're right. It's not. They can't get it on replay, so the touchdown stands. Tommy Armstrong, again, I keep on saying how much little respect he gets throughout the country. He had 320 yards passing, two touchdowns and two interceptions. Jordan Westerkamp, he got knocked out the game, came back, had 143 yards receiving and a touchdown. Connor Cook, he was sensational for Michigan State. They really couldn't stop Michigan State until the fourth quarter, 335 yards. Iowa beat Indiana 35-27. Seven, and you had that Akeem Whiteley. Boy, he is going to be good. 12 rushes, 120 yards. Daniels ran for two touchdowns. C.J. Beathard ran for another touchdown, and he also threw a touchdown for Iowa. And then a big game and a big surprise, Northwestern beat Penn State 23-21. Justin Jackson. Excuse me, 28 rushes, 186 yards for Northwestern. I thought that was a big win for them. Then, hey, my Hampton Pirates, they beat FAMU 33-0. They shut them out. Dwayne Garrett ran for 147 yards for them. And, hey, Grambling beat down Texas Southern 41-16. All right, ladies and gentlemen, real quick. We will be here on Thursday at 9:00. We're going to talk about some NBA and the such because we got to get that rolling here. Haven't been able to talk too much NBA, but we're going to do that and a preview for next week's game. So toodaloo and bye-bye.